Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 7 to verse 9. Proverbs 14 verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favour. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme this evening is man-made wisdom, the height of folly. Man-made wisdom, the height of folly. We have often remarked that the Bible uses the word folly or foolishness not to describe those of limited IQ or those who have little academic learning, but rather the Bible, by the concept of foolishness, means that which is sinful. It means the unbelieving and ungodly. According to God's word, they are fools. The atheist is a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So foolishness is sin, and sinners are fools. That means we're all fools by nature, and we are only made wise when we are made wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Adam and Eve were undoubtedly highly intelligent, but they were fools when they listened to the serpent rather than retaining grip upon the word of God. Even in the reading we read there in verse 9 of 2 Timothy 3, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. No doubt Jannes and Jambres were very intelligent, but they were still fools. It is the state of the heart that is the key to real wisdom. Remember last time in verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. The man, the unbelieving man with an unrenewed heart, he seeks to learn, but he doesn't learn, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because his heart is wrong. He is unbelieving. He loves darkness rather than light. And so, whilst he claims to want wisdom and understanding, he never gets the real thing, because his heart is in love with darkness and with sin. The man who loves sin will not love the truth. And this is a recurring theme in Proverbs, and it appears again here in these verses, wisdom and folly. First of all, let us consider aimless bad company. Aimless bad company. Verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. When you realize that this man has nothing to offer that could possibly be of profit, but you say, perhaps you want to witness to such a man, but perhaps you have witnessed, and that has been scorned, and you are now casting your pearls before swine, and that which is holy before to the dogs. What are you hanging about for in the company of such a man? You can't do him any good because you've told him the truth and he's despised it. Maybe another opportunity may arise later on, but meantime, he's despised the truth. and he certainly can't do you any good because he hasn't the beginning of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord. So why are you hanging about in his company? Why do you want to be with such a person? What's wrong with you that you should want the company of a fool, of a man who does not know God and who pours out his enmity to God in useless verbiage? Do you want to be with such a person? Do you want the company of those who dishonour the Lord Jesus for no good purpose, not for witness, nor for any necessity, but you just want their company? Well, why? What's wrong? Why do you want the company of those who hate the Lord? But then you say, but I never really thought about it. And here's the thing. Not thinking. Aimless. Bad company. We should think. The people of God should think, and they should think about what they're doing and who they want to be with and how they spend their time. Aimlessly listening to ungodly claptrap and assuming it will do you no harm is a blunder. How do you know it'll do you no harm? Has God promised? Has God promised that his keeping power, his upholding power, when you're foolish? When Christ was tempted to throw himself off the pinnacle, he used the scripture, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Well, if we do the same morally, ethically, spiritually, can we presume upon God to cause it to have no damaging effect? You see, we should think. We should think about who we want to be with and why. In Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy statutes. That goes with verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Wanting ungodly company for no good purpose is not consistent with teach me thy statutes. If you love bad company, are you really serious about following the Lord? There are good reasons for dealing with men who clearly despise the Lord. There are valid reasons, but don't do it aimlessly and assume that it's harmless. Secondly, knowing what we are doing. Knowing what we are doing. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of the prudent, not the wisdom of the learned necessarily, or even the well-educated, or the highly intelligent, but the wisdom of the prudent. The prudent are those who have learned the scriptures, which are able to make wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And God has made them wise to embrace Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. And they live by the words of God's mouth. and who through comfort of the scriptures, they have hope. They are the truly prudent, and it is the wisdom of such prudent people, those who've been made prudent by the grace of God, and they are truly wise. And such a wise man understands his way. He knows why he's here, because he's a creature of God. He knows where he's going, to heaven through faith in Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. And he knows what he's about, meantime, here on earth, living a life before the face of God and to his glory through faith in Christ. He knows his bearings. The ungodly doesn't know these things. The ungodly, especially today, he doesn't know why he's here or where he's come from or where he's going. And he's not going to heaven either. And life is what you make it. But this man, the wise man, he does know. And so he is sober in self-assessment. He uses his gifts that God has given him. He doesn't exaggerate them, but he doesn't bury them either. Solomon was called to be king, so he asked for the necessary understanding heart. But normally we use what God has given us and ask for greater wisdom in the use of them. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. He knows what to do when. He knows what needs doing and when it should be done, because his heart and mind is engrossed in the word of God, and the fear of the Lord directs him. He's redeeming the time, knowing that the days are evil. But the wicked, by contrast, live lives of deception, one lie after another. Their life is a long pretense, but the folly of fools is deceit. They scheme and they think that they're being clever. That's the world's idea of cleverness, isn't it? Who can be smart enough and deceive well enough and not get caught? But the true victim is themselves. They are fools. In their deceit of others, they're deceiving themselves, because it catches up. The big lie that they have believed is that they can live such dishonest lives and yet be blessed. Blessedness is in the God of truth, who will not lie. So their self-deception is the biggest deception of all. Are you living in an ungodly fog? Or are you living as a child of the day, walking before the Lord in the land of the living, as a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you just staggering from day to day, aimless, no idea what your life is about? Is that it? Estranged from the ever-blessed God. And you think that's all there is. But you know there is a God in heaven and a Saviour at God's right hand. and he receives sinners. And there is life everlasting, something you perhaps have never known. If you're not a believer, you've never known it. This life of living by faith on the Son of God is unknown to you. The believer's life is hid with Christ in God. You see its effects on the Lord's people, but you don't understand it. It's an unknown world to you. What you have is not all there is. But you need to learn that while you are in this world. Because it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And that brings us thirdly, clever but on the way to hell. Clever but on the way to hell. Verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favour. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. Sin is all that God says wrong in thought, word and deed. Sin is to be feared. Its natural wages are death. And even for believers, it mars communion with God. But a fool will mock at it, will make a joke of his own sins and the sins of others, as if it's just a laughing matter. Sin isn't something to take seriously, and he will make it seem smart to sin against God. Fools mock at sin. There are things that are just not a laughing matter, and sin is undoubtedly one of them. And such a person makes it difficult and embarrassing for anyone who will live godly in Christ Jesus, anyone who won't share the joke. Young Christians, you need to get this thoroughly set in your minds, that you will be out of step with fools who make a mock at sin, with those who are trying to be clever by means of mocking sin. You need to get used to the scorn. You need to get used to the fact that you can't be one of the crowd if you're going to follow Christ. Things are getting harder at the moment. It may not always be so, but it's certainly been so for a long time, and there's no sign of a turning of the tide at present. And so Christians are going to be more odd. We must get used to it. Beloved, think it not strange when they mock you because you go not to the same excess of riot. Verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They think it's strange. They think you're odd. You don't get drunk at the weekend, or you don't joke about immorality, and they think it's strange. They think you're an oddity. Well, get used to it, because Christians are oddities in this present evil generation. We don't have to try to be odd. We've just got to be godly, and we'll be odd. So fools make a mock at sin. this mockery at sin, all the bravado. There is an end, you know. The laughing stops when death comes, when hell comes. There's no laughter in hell. The awful reality of what sin is, what it deserves, what it receives if it's not forgiven. There's no laughing. There's wailing. There's weeping. And there's gnashing of teeth. No mockers in hell. The awful reality is undeniable. The cleverness, the cocksureness, it's all gone. There is only the outer darkness, the wrath of God. Whereas with the righteous there is favour. That seems to refer to the smile of God. They're accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, through his imputed righteousness, his righteousness reckoned to their account, his perfect life, his bearing of the guilt of sin. And he's begun to impart a righteousness to them too. Though not perfect in this world, yet they follow the Lord, and their footsteps please the Lord. What a difference. What a difference. The mocker who seems clever but is going to hell compared with those who are ready to be accounted fools for Christ's sake on the way to heaven. You know, in the New Testament, when the apostle says he is accounted a fool for Christ's sake, the word there is moron. He's accounted a moron for Christ's sake. And counted the offscouring of all things in faithfulness to Christ. Well, what are the lessons? They're very simple. First of all, does this all seem a bit narrow? You hear this and you say, well, that sounds really grim. That sort of life, it sounds really grim. Well, does it sound grim to those who are born of the Spirit and who have beheld the beauty of Christ? You see, if we see the beauty of Christ and the glory of his salvation, if he is all our salvation and all our desire, how can this sort of life, the life we've described, how can that be boring? We have a Saviour who is glorious above all our thoughts of him. We cannot think too highly of him. There's none like him. And the narrow way is attractive to those who have beheld his beauty. They say, like Ephraim in the book of Hosea, what have I to do any more with idols? Why do we want this meaningless nonsense, this utter futility, this constant pretense? If we have Christ, we don't need sin. It's a lie of the devil that we listen to every time we sin, that somehow we need to sin. It's not safe or it's not happiness to be without it, but it's a lie. And in our more consistent moments, we know that's the truth. If we're believers, we know that the devil is lying to us and our corrupt natures are lying to us. We know and we delight in the law of God after the inward man. because we've been born from above and we've beheld the King in his beauty, and we know that living by faith on the Son of God is the truly blessed life. But then if you are a Christian, don't aimlessly amble along without thinking. Christians waste a lot of their lives just by not thinking biblically. Aimlessness is very unlikely to be godly. Aimlessness usually will veer towards conformity to the world. Don't be aimless. Make sure you have Christ, then spend your strength seeking his glory, for he is worthy. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts. Enable us to see the excellency of Christ and the vanity of sin. Enable us to gird up the loins of our mind and to be sober and to live godly in Christ Jesus. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and pardon our iniquities, and receive us graciously, for Christ's sake. Amen. We sing to God's praise in Psalm 75, and verse 4 to verse 10. Psalm 75, and from verse 4, I to the foolish people said, do not deal foolishly, and unto those that wicked are, lift not your horn on high. Lift not your horn on high, nor speak with stubborn neck, but know that not from east, nor west, nor south, promotion doth flow. Psalm 75, verse 4 to the end, and then I'll pronounce the benediction. Let us stand and praise God.